So next speaker is Jørgen Stensland, who will talk about the rollout of digital cinema in Norway, and which is also connected to this project in a sense, because at least in Scandinavia and Northern Europe, we are faced with digital cinema becoming a reality and therefore having to handle these elements.
Good afternoon, everybody. I hope everyone can hear me. I have to apologize for my slight hoarse voice. I have a son in kindergarten and he likes to bring me things. So I feel like a lab rat sometimes. Welcome to Norway, everyone. We thought it was, I hope you do know that you are in Norway. We were thinking about telling you a little bit about what's going on the cinema side of this country, since we are one of the first countries in the world to have a nationwide rollout. Also a rollout that encompasses everyone, not only the commercial cinemas in the country. We are about 4.5 million people, so we're not so many people in this country, even though our country is quite elongated. I'm sure some of you heard that we're the same distance from Oslo to North Cape. It's the same as the distance from Oslo to Rome. So these 4.5 million people, they live sort of spread out all over the country. So this is quite an challenge when you are going to run cinemas, because you have a lot of small places all around the country where the culture houses and cinemas are very important, both in as cinemas in themselves, but also as because they sort of fulfill some political goals about having people live all over the country. We have about 420 screens, 230 cinemas, and then we have a so-called ambulatory cinema, a rural cinema that rides around in cars and have shows on about 200 different locations in Norway. This operation is also run by Film and Kino, which I work for. There are cinemas everywhere. We haven't had a lot of cinemas dying, and fortunately it seems like we are going to have that situation also after digitalization. We have managed to keep them alive. There are political willingness in this country to give people culture where they live. It's not always been like that, perhaps, but still we have, if you see differences in the population between Norway and our neighboring country, Sweden, the population patterns in Norway are much more spread out all over the country. Maybe because we have a long coastline, and the coast has been the life for many small places, because of before we got roads, we had the sea. So it's very important that people have cultural opportunities where they live. We think that digitalization will benefit especially the smaller cinemas and give them new opportunities. I'll get back to that later. A few words about my organization, Film and Kino. It's a quite strange and hybrid organization. We were started up by local municipalities that have cinemas in the early 1930s. At this point, the cinemas in Norway were made sort of communized, so that only the municipalities were allowed to run cinemas. We're also an interest organization for the cinema and video industries. And the reason for that is that we collect a tax on behalf of the government, the so-called Norwegian Cinema and Film Fund. There's a tax on cinema tickets and on DVD Blu-ray sales, which approximately equates 80 million Norwegian kroner every year. So what we do with this money is that we pull it back into the businesses with a lot of different support schemes. For example, we support Norwegian film festivals with about 15 million kroner every year. We support distribution of film. Every third film on Norwegian cinemas are supported by us. We have market campaigns trying to enhance the cinematic experience during summer, during other parts of the year. And we are also the primary deliverers of cinematic statistic. So we do a lot of things with these funds. We also thought quite early about digital cinema. People have been talking about it for 20 years in this business. We knew it was coming. And we felt we had two choices. Either, because we're such a small country, either we go first with all the implications that give, or we can come last. We do not believe that, for example, when Cristio Barco gets 20,000 projectors ordered from US rollout or some Chinese rollout, that we will be in contention with our 420 local cinemas. Usually the Hollywood studios don't make agreements with territories with less than 500 cinemas. So we thought we had two options, and we chose to come first. So about 10, 15 years ago, we started to save money, and we have managed to save about 100 million kroner up until now. We also started to work with the technology quite early. We thought that without beta tests, this would be very difficult. So we started some pilot projects in 2006. That's only 20 years between. 2006, we started pilot projects after our highest governing body, the General Assembly, decided to support these projects same year. We wanted to look upon technical issues, of course, organizational issues, and issues in how we would, what it would mean to digitize multiplexes, even though we have fewer of those in Norway than other countries. Two different companies were given the task of doing this project. One is called Unique Cinema Systems, at that time Unique Digital Cinema, situated in Bergen, one of the bigger system integrators in Northern Europe. The other one is called Norwegian Digital Alliance, situated in Kristiansand in southern Norway, partly owned by Arts Alliance, which many of you maybe have heard about. So, of course, there were some, and thankfully, there was some problems when we started this. Originally, there were problems with interoperability. For example, that some servers didn't speak to some projectors. We had that problem with the QVIS system. And there's been some problems with digital sound, and of course with the operating of digital keys. So, but by doing this in both small and big cinemas, we have been able to, I think, avoid some of the bigger problems that would have come if we would have done this without beta tests. And we managed to work our way through some of these problems. I'm not saying that it won't be any problems when the real rollout starts sometime next month, but I hope that we will know what to do, since we already have been tasting some of these problems for the last 4 years. So technical issues probably the most important, and we've learned a lot. And of course the equipment has gotten to be a lot better in these 4 or 5 years. We also tried out organizational issues, how the bigger cinemas in the regions could help the smaller cinemas situated there. Unfortunately, that hasn't been very successful. What we found out was that even though you install digital screens in a mainly analog complex, the cinemas themselves will start to almost immediately treat it as part of their operations. So they're not very interested in helping others or doing something outside the book. They just use those screens as a part of their normal operation. We have seen in companies that are cinema companies that have other affiliates. We have four or five now that are starting to grow all across Norway. That there you can sort of build up an organization that knows how to treat these problems, and they'll also help the smaller cinemas. We try to also try to digitize some multiplexes to see how the digital movies could sort of play themselves down, see if it had any impact on how films were played in the multiplexes. But we couldn't really see anything with those few multiplexes we digitized. But we have learned something, and there can be a lot of problems also on the receiving end of digital films. For example, if you coat the glasses wrong, then we had this one of the first screenings in Norway where everyone had to put the glasses upside down. It looks kind of good. If you look at the cost of this, the total rollout costs in Norway are estimated at 400 million Norwegian kroner, which is about 50 million euros. 40% of that rollout costs will come from VPF agreements, and the rest will come from Film & Kino. We have saved 100 million kroner, and the General Assembly have stated that they want to use 100 million kroner, so that's what we're going to use. And the cinemas will contribute with the rest. In addition to that, we sort of guarantee the whole agreement in regard to a financial institution. The VPF, or virtual print fee, for those of you who just know that concept, it's a concept that you pay after you put movies up in a complex. Every time you put a movie in a complex in a cinema house, you have to pay some sort of fee. And altogether, this fee will approximate about 170 million kroner over 6 to 8 years. And of course, we need a financial institution to sort of lend us some of this money before we get it back from these VPF coming in, so that we can use the money to buy the equipment. So we have a simplified, doesn't really look simplified, does it? Model where the distributors pay the VPF via Film & Kino. We have a financial institution. It says leasing. That's not the case anymore. We had to organize it as loans from the municipalities and local cinemas to get rid of the problems with paying taxes. Because we are not an organization that can deduct that, so cinemas had to do that themselves. The exhibitors are paying for their own part, and then you have system integrators, which are going to roll out the actual rollout, technical rollout, and also monitor the operations afterwards during the NOC centers, the network operation centers that you're probably familiar with from the computer world. We had what we look upon as the benefits after rollouts. As I mentioned, we are quite country with a small population, sort of spread out all over, so there is a time frame in regard to when the popular films are going to the smallest rural cinemas. And in average, It takes 45 days from a film have a premiere in Oslo or one of the big cities until it's played in one of the smaller cities in the countryside. This is a problem because when it after 45 days, first of all, the film itself is quite damaged usually. It's not like it's been staying in a refrigerator for 45 days. It's been used every day, loaded, and taken off projectors every day, and it looks like that. Also, all the national media have finished with it, and there are no market campaigns anymore. If the kids, if it's a film that are appealing to the core audiences, the younger audiences from 18 to 25, they maybe have, if they're not too far away from a city, and too far away might be half an hour in Oslo, but in northern Norway it can be like 5 hours driving. That's not a problem for them. So if they have the ability to go and see it in another cinema, they might have done it. So what we think is that we will get more premieres. About 30% of the films shown in Oslo are shown on the smaller cinemas today. They get more premieres, we think, and they'll get them faster. And hopefully that will revitalize the local smaller cinemas and increasing the revenue streams in those cinemas. Of course, it's easier and cheaper distribution, which is why the distributors want to participate in this rollout in the first place. The quality we talked about, only first runs every time you show it. We have seen that the business itself increased in one of the project cinemas, a really small cinema on the south coast of Norway. They had an increase in business of 26% in 2006 with only a few digital premieres. So it might be quite a big difference for the smaller cinemas. And we are also very often using cultural terms when we're talking about the spread of digital cinema, which of course is important. It's important to give core publics what they need, especially young people, etc. But we must not forget, which is always, it's not so easy to remember, that the cinema is a vehicle for other economy on the places where the cinema exists. And we have done a number of studies that shows this. 10 years ago in Bergen, Bergen Cinema generated about 100 million Norwegian kroner for other businesses after you deduct the cinema ticket and transportation or parking costs. And we did the same study in what used to be the biggest cinema in Norway, biggest town in Norway without a cinema, a town called Horten. And we found out that they lost 5 to 8 million kroner a year to the neighboring town Tønsberg, which propelled the municipality to build a cinema in record time. The only thing worse than losing money is losing it to their neighbors, I think. Excuse me. So this has to do with the distribution. It doesn't look very heavy compared to all those film rolls we were used to drag with us around. So this is what a hard drive looks like. It's the distribution today is mainly these boxes with hard drives that you carry around and load the file from one box to the digital cinema. There are some examples of broadband and satellite distribution in Norway. I know that, for example, the Aurora Cinema in Tromsø in northern Norway have only used broadband to distribute movies to their sister cinema in Alta in Finnmark, which is quite a distance. And the cinema head of cinema up there, he says that it's very good because we use 5 hours less than putting the movies, the films on a bus. So they usually ship them over during nighttime. Satellite distribution is also very efficient, but it's also very expensive. To buy satellite time is very expensive. So that many of the films that would have to be distributed that way, it's not enough with a local Norwegian premiere. It has to be a Nordic and maybe even a European premiere. To get back to the project itself, the success factors for total rollout, which is what we're going to have in this country, is first of all political support on all levels. We've had great support from the Ministry of Culture. We are ourselves the organization for the municipalities. So basically we have political support from all the different levels of political of the political government area. I think in Europe, where we have some of the same problems, I don't think many other countries in Europe have the same massive problems that we would have because of our sparsely populated population. But even the countries in Europe with the highest density of population will have some cinemas that are either art house cinemas or smaller, older cinemas that are outside of the ability to get commercial VPF models developed. The commercial models, of course, only are interesting to for the cinemas that make money, basically. So even in countries like Denmark and Belgium and countries with higher density of population, there will be a lot of cinemas dying unless you get the political support that you need. Of course, financial support is very important through the political level. We have that in the countries where they are talking about this, of course in Norway, but also I think France and they have it in Germany, even though there are other problems in Germany, as I have heard. So it's not so easy, but it's good to it's vital to get political support. We've had one player, that's Film & Kino, planning and controlling the process, and a joint venture. In Norway, we had something called the Digital Cinema Alliance, where people from our organization, from the Norwegian Film Institute, from the biggest cinemas and the distributors in Norway were sitting together planning this. The current status is that we have signed deals with all the six major Hollywood studios. It took us 3 years of negotiations, with a higher learning curve than anything I've experienced before. University is just kindergarten. But it was very interesting to delve into areas that I've never been working in before, like law and economy and such. We have agreements with cinemas and system integrators signed. We had a public tender in dividing the country in 10 zones. And 9 of those zones, the unique cinema systems from Bergen were the winners. And in one zone, the NDA from southern Norway. We had meetings in Brussels to establish that our contribution, which was voluntary at first from the cinema, this fund I was talking about, it's not considered state aid by the European Surveillance Agency in a, what they call a preliminary assessment. And the tenders were won in February and rollout starts in May, June this year. And in April 2011, all of the cinemas in Norway will be digital. When I say all of the cinemas, there are about 10, 15 cinemas that have chosen not to be a part of this rollout because of the financial demands or because of the demands in programming. They have to have at least 50 viewings every year. That's one a week, approximately. So this has been a short presentation of what's happening in Norway, and I hope you have enjoyed it. If you have any questions, I can try to answer them.
What will happen to the ability to program heritage material, which, as we all know, will never be digitized completely? Will you still have playback?
Yes. we have said to our cinemas that I'm sure Ireland, which are talking after me, will talk more about this, but we have asked the cinemas that if you have room for it in the booths, please keep some analog equipment, especially if you have film festivals or a film club. So in a lot of the cinemas, with the maybe exception of the 80s type cinema, where they built a lot smaller projection booths, I think we will have a lot of cinemas keeping that equipment.
Antti Aalonen, Helsinki. Is there any trouble in cinemas having a parallel 35 millimeter availability?
Yes. In regard to the VPF deals, of course, it's hard to. If they were allowed to distribute outside of festivals, we have exceptions for festivals and film clubs, but when they first have installed the digital equipment, they have to use it so that we can get money back to pay for it. So you cannot have a commercial analog program at the same time. That will destroy the whole economic model.
Two questions. First of all, what happens with legal deposit for these films that will only be in digital form? Are they then in the digital cinema format and with certain protection mechanisms? Are they then encrypted and put in legal deposit, or what's going on with those?
I'm not quite certain. Yes, please. Saved by the bell.
I think this is a question that the National Library would have to answer, because they're in charge of the legal deposit, and these are the questions that we are dealing with. Well, I'm at the Film Institute, but these are the questions they are concerned about, how to the legal deposit with digital-born films. So that has to be solved, and by now we have short films made digitally, and I guess we receive some files, master formats, but with feature films for the future, by now I think we still have analog copies made, but that is a question for the future.
Okay, and then the second question, in your studies, did you look at projectionists and what type of retraining is required for projectionists, or are projectionists just going to be fired? And are the managers going to be dealing with this, or what's the issue with projectionists?
I've never thought about it that way, but when you say that, I actually think I'm going to try to fire everyone. I'm sorry, that's a joke. We have training when they when the system integrators travel around and try to. Put it in the system. They will train the operators. There's also an option for the cinemas to buy increased training in the different digital systems. And of course, there's not like it's total different systems all over the place. We have a basic package where they can buy, which won the public tender, which is going to be a lot of the same all over the country. Of course, you can choose to upgrade it into 4K, for example, but. That is up to the local cinema.
Marisol Perez Guevara from the European Commission. Have you measured the benefits in terms of cultural diversity of digitalizing the cinemas? So it means if you would increase the offer of films or according to its origin, more European films, more Asian films. Is this a parameter that you have taken into account? Thank you.
Well, that's part of our business also in the analog world. We have many different support schemes for the cinemas, distribution of films in the cinemas, and especially so-called quality films or art house films have a special, many different support schemes along with children films, etc. And we'll, of course, we'll follow through with those schemes also in a digital world. But it is, I think also the technology itself has a lot of benefits in that regard, especially with the library servers that makes you able to store a lot of films at the same time.
Okay, we'll take one last question because we actually jumped one person.
So I just had the question, I thought you said 2K, but is the national rollout 4K or 2K?
We have offered a basic package, which is a 2K solution. But in the system with the public tenders, if the cinemas want to pay for it themselves, they can upgrade either to 3D or 4K, bigger projector with more light, bigger library servers, etc. This is options that are baked into the public tenders according to your Norwegian and European tender law.
And have you selected one manufacturer or multiple manufacturers for the playbacks?
We have, for the basic package, it's a Christie projector and I don't remember on the foot now. The Dormi servers. So they are the winners through the public tenders. But then you can, during the upgrades, there are many different solutions you can choose from.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jan.